All right. Luke 17. Verse 11. And it came to pass. Many commentators say that when the Bible says it came to pass, it's something, if it's good, it's very good, and if it's bad, it's very bad. But the phrase "it came to pass" is to draw attention. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, for him to go across Samaria, he was in Galilee. For him to go, take the shortcut and go across Samaria was, at that time, the time of him, Christ, that was like touching an unclean thing almost, because the Samaritans had built their own temple. They claimed to be the true Jews. And they were despised by the Jews in Israel. Anyway, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Now, there's two things wrong here from the standpoint of Jewish tradition. The Samaritan was now in Israel, probably in Jerusalem, and Jesus had passed through Samaria. So it was like this is the kind of stuff that made him so unpopular with the leaders.
So he went into enemy territory
to heal the lepers.
And then the guy came out of Samaria to thank him?
To find him, yeah. More than likely he was on his way to Jerusalem for one of the feasts. And instead of going through what is now Jordan or Perea and then entering at Jericho like they normally did, he just took the shortcut. More than likely, the other 9 that didn't heal him were Jews. Because the lepers, they were really treated badly in Israel. And the fact that he announced that this was the Samaritan that was giving him thanks gives the indicator that more than likely the other 9 were Jews. Anyway, let's look at let's see.
Was it risk of physical risk? Did they beat each other up and stuff while you walked through somewhere? They would jump on him?
It was just like they were worse than the Aggies, even worse than the Swedes to the Norwegians. They were. But anyway, let's look. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on here. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 13. It says they were cleansed. That didn't use the word healed when he said, to go show yourself in Jerusalem. And remember, cleansed is a different word than healed. All right. Leviticus 13.
What does cleanse mean? Make yourself clean?
We're going to find out right now. Idiot. I turned to Numbers 13. Start verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons of the priests, one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague inside be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight not be deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof not be turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague, shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be as at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. But it is but a scab, and shall wash his clothes and be clean. Now, where did they shut him up? Does anybody remember? It was in the basement, if you will, and down several levels, in, as I remember, in the temple. And there was a separate facility there for this purpose. But what was interesting to me is that it was in the temple instead of somewhere off the temple. But anyway, that's not what we're looking at. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, a scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then shall he be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall shut him up, for he is unclean. Now there, once they've determined him unclean, then he leaves that room or that facility. I think I'm quoting this right, but just...
But it says he shall not shut him up.
Huh?
You read shall shut him up, but it says and shall not shut him up for his
unclean. Oh, I'm sorry. He shall not shut him up for his unclean. And that means he had to be sent out. I'm sorry. And if the leprosy break out abroad in his skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wherever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is unclean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. Now that's the the mystery of leprosy is if you have leprosy from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot, then you're pronounced clean. If it's not totally leprous, then you're unclean. Now this is, to me, a mystery of for us, and that it mystery is, if you know that you are totally, that you, it's not that you do sin, you are sin. It's just another way of us seeing that you have to be totally leprous before you're clean. And just like you have to know that you're the chief of sinners, that you are not just, you just don't have some bad habits. It is the essence of sin, who you are, then you have a chance, spiritually. But if you think there's something good, then you have to, then it's just, it's going to take more time for you to see that you're the chief of sinners. Does everybody understand that?
It's interesting how elongated this process is. Looks, he throws him in 78.
Well, it goes on more. We didn't. We stopped. It goes on and on.
Right. But even that's significant.
Yeah, it does go on.
Man cannot get a grip on this fact that he's not clean unless he's totally unclean.
That's right. And he's not. If he does sin, but he isn't sin. I mean, that's a biggie. Because otherwise, you'll hold on to things. You'll try to carry some of the stuff about you into the kingdom of God. It's like they try to, it's like, there's these guys that their purpose in life is to, they march, they spend their whole life marching around stuff. And every time they march around it, and then they claim it for God. And so then they're gonna. So their goal is to claim to walk to do all this for all of America, so that America will be in the kingdom of God. It doesn't. It can't happen. But isn't that what we do? We try to see. We try to keep some aspect of ourselves. Something that you think is good.
Or you compare.
Well, if you compare, then you're doing it automatically. That means you're comparing because you're trying to find one person worse than you. If you can find one person worse than you, then you're okay. Is this hitting anybody?
This falls in line with what you said about being totally convicted. Is that the term I remember you using?
I don't remember using that. It doesn't sound like something I would say, but who knows? The point of this is, we're not going to go through the whole thing of how the leper, what happens then with those turtle doves and all that other stuff, but it's something, if you don't know that you're the chief of sinners, then you will automatically you automatically put things you do or aspects of your life, you try to keep them and bring them into the kingdom of God. It can't happen. There's none righteous, no, not one.
Say that again, please. You do what to bring what into the kingdom of God?
You try to bring some aspect of yourself into the kingdom of God.
And what is it that caused you to do that? Or not you most? I'm sorry.
You don't know that you're totally sin. You think there's something good.
If you don't accept the fact that you're the chief of sinners, you
will automatically bring the stuff within you that you still think is good, opinions, ideas, then you will try to bring those into the kingdom of God.
Automatically.
Because those things that you think are good are by definition idolatry. That's why the scriptures are so clear. Above all things, my brethren, flee idolatry.
You know, it's interesting that in a spiritual framework, who gives a damn about leprosy? I'd go to the hospital and go see a doctor. But it's not that. And they spend exorbitant amounts of time, but they never quite say what it's about. It has to be discerned or seen by spirit.
Well, I mean, that
has
look,
to be
look.
What are they saying? Yeah.
By survey, the book of Leviticus, by both Jews and Christians, is the least studied book in the Bible. Well, it's because it cuts Jesus into little pieces so you can see him, and it causes you to see your sin is without question the chief of sinners. It's not, sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. You can't bring any of it into the kingdom of God. All right. Let's go back to Luke. We could spend the rest of the year on leprosy, and I don't want to do that. There's an interesting thing going on here. Verse 13, Luke 17, said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And we saw them, he simply said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went to the priest, they were cleansed. Now, the cleansed, as we said, they were so totally leprous from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot. And then, just as we just read. That's what's necessary in order to be cleansed. But then it goes on. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, totally different word. He was not only cleansed because he was leprous from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot.
No,
he was healed.
Yeah, that's a
major
distinction.
And cleansed is just that word we talk about often, where we get catharsis. It's katharizo. It's not healed, but cleansed. And then in verse 15, he wasn't just cleansed, he was healed by his obedience and by his faith. Now, his faith came from desperation. But the fact that he was now healed now begins his spiritual walk. You understand that? Now, even though they were in Jerusalem, now he was eligible to go into the temple. Now his spiritual walk is to go from the earth to the new Jerusalem. And that can only be done by seeing the emptiness of everything else. This is why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because the preaching of the cross reveals the emptiness and futility of every other aspect of life, of every aspect of life.
There's kind of a division here in that he was healed, he was declared clean by the priest because of his condition, but then God
and Christ healed him. And he fell down.
He was right before God and man in that state.
fell down on his face at his feet and gave thanks, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And there's so many things going on in those few verses.
Why do you think the rest were Jews? No.
What?
You said the rest were Jews?
Well, it's because he claimed he just picked out that one guy and said he was a Samaritan. And the inference is the rest of them, even though they were Jews, that's just my, don't pay attention to it. That's just what I think is going on. But we're not there. Now, what really happened when it said he was healed was something far greater than we can, it's that great word, enomai. And it means complete, lacking nothing. It's not just a healing of a disease or something. It wasn't the word therapy, which is the normal word for healing. It's the word eomai, which is the perfection, lacking nothing. He was born again, in other words. Now, this is another big thing, because the Jews believed that salvation only went to the Jews, and the Holy Spirit only came upon the Jews, not on anybody else. In verse 17, and when Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." Now that word is critical. It's the word allogonus, but it means from a different gene pool. That they were Samaritans because they were from a different gene pool. But now he's no longer a stranger. Now he is of the gene pool that allows him to be in the New Jerusalem. The same is true with you and I. There's nothing about us as our physical flesh and blood heritage that can make it into the kingdom. We have to become of a different gene pool. And that gene pool is what it means to be born again. You're no longer a human. Does that make any sense? Of course not.
We're a new creature. Yeah, of course it doesn't make sense, because how can we believe we're a new creature? How can the human believe he's a new creature?
All right, we're just think about that for a minute.
Just one comment. It's like that's part of what grafted in me. We're grafted into a new plant, a new vine, a new source.
Yeah, remember it says we are of the adoption. Remember adoption? It's this great word. It's huiothesios. And it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. So that's our life. Now we can't go back to any other part of this life. This is what all this means. This is down getting into the short hairs. And then it goes on. Let's just in 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you." Never come by observation. neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's why there's no more holy places. There's no more holy relics. There's no more ranking of people. I said, can you see maybe now why he said, no man cometh to the Father unless he hate his mother and his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, and all the other relatives, yea, and his own life also. Let's look and see if we can understand better what it means to be totally leprous. Go to Job. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Hallelujah. But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself, I hate myself, and repent. And dust and ashes. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And that's still the same. Repent, or you abhor yourself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, why are you repenting in dust and ashes? Because that's the fruit of all of the flesh. It's created by dust, and all the flesh will end up as dust and ashes. Can you see why you have to see yourself as totally leprous? Why you see yourself as the chief of sinners? There's nothing good within you or about you. There's nothing that has any merit, not any genealogy, not any, you know, people are going crazy over this. I forget what it is called, but where they check their ancestry. I bet every one of my relatives is done doing that.
Is what?
Doing it. Because that was to check and see if all the stories you were told are true. But it doesn't mean diddly squat. John Rutledge's mother spent hours every day searching genealogical tables. He's got some pretty heavy duty. He's got a king in his gene pool, and still worthless. I used to tease her till she would get so mad at me. I can't imagine anybody ever getting mad at me. Can you, Jeff?
Only about every 30 minutes or so.
I can't remember.
I knew you could.
That's possible.
So can I.
Yeah. I see the only one that's silent is Gary. He's never been mad at me.
No. I brush that stuff off.
Oh, there's something else I want to talk about, but I can't remember what it is, so let's quit there.
They're all off like dust into the dustpan.
Anybody learn anything? Or see anything better?
Shuts you up. If that's what's cool about this is if you hear it, what do you say?
But can it shut up your mind? That's the question. Can it shut up your Jerusalem that now is?
Yeah.
That's why this. I don't think I've ever talked about this, but when it talks about that you don't want the garment spotted by the flesh, well, the way it's spotted is by points of leprosy, spiritual leprosy. There's still raw flesh there that's spotting the garment. The garment is the righteousness of Christ, His whiteness only. That's what we have on. That's our. But when we and you do it all the time. But you know that's why it's that's why salvation is the merest of beginnings.
Then you're a new creature. You can't be a new creature and still have all these ties to the world. And then family is a strong tie. Brother, sister, mother, your own life. You can't even keep that umbilical cord.
Just think about this thing. We've talked about it many times, but the whole thing of when for 1,500 years every Jew ate the Passover with his blood relatives, his family. And he comes along, and they're still doing it today. And he comes along, this last Passover, where she said, how I have longed to eat this Passover with you. He came along, and that had to go like wildfire throughout Jerusalem. That this guy that we just thought was so great now is redefining everything, redefining who your family is. Everything is gone. Think on that. I mean, the Passover was the most beloved feast in all of Judaism. And it was always for 1,500 years. We can't even think about 100 years ago. 1,500 years that had been done faithfully by every Jewish family. And he comes along and says, no more. Now, there's a new creation, a new family that has nothing to do and no reference to the old one. And that's what it means when he's talking about hate. All right. Think on those things. Take a big guy.